Fayetteville, Kentucky. I am the pastor here, Matthew Robbins, and we're moving along each week as we add more equipment to our ability to do a live feed where we can share information with you on the screen, and then we're just going to try to keep adding to that as best we can in this conditions and the climate that we're in right now during in our world and our country. So let's pray this morning and get started. I'll share a few things with you, and then we'll get into the Word again this morning. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to be in your Word, and I just thank you for all those that have joined through this live feed, and we just pray that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, we pray, Lord, that they'll surrender their life to you, Lord, and accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord. And we pray that all of us that name the name of Christ, that we will continue to live by our faith during this season, that our faith will actually grow, Lord, and we'll be stronger and stronger and stronger as we walk through this season. Let us always keep our eyes on you, Lord, and not the things down here on earth. Let us remember that you're the one that's in charge. No matter the enemy, Satan, and all the death that he tries to do, we know that you have the final say in everything. So, Lord, we give you praise, and I pray this morning that you'll give me the tongue of the learned, Lord, that as I am speaking, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide my lips and my tongue, Lord, in order to bring a seasoned word, Lord, into the lives of those who are listening today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I also want to thank everyone that is helping support the church through this trying time. A lot of times out of sight and out of mind, but many of you have been helping that. Some of you newcomers have joined our fold in a video way, and so we appreciate the support and all that you're to help us keep our ministry going. We are giving away a lot of food during this season, and we're trying to be sensitive to that. And I'm in a food pipeline that's basically going all over southeastern Kentucky. So we just want to pray. And I'm going to give you a scripture or two about some things that we can take comfort in before I get into the meat of the message this morning. So we're thankful for all of you all that are continue to pray for us and support us so we can continue. There's a lot of ministry has picked up. It hasn't went down. So there's a lot of needs in our world and in our country and our state, everywhere. So we're trying to be sensitive to that and be led by the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you a couple of passages to think about, and then I'm going to go into the message. The first one I want you to think about, and many of you are a part of this in one way or another through our food pantry and things like that, but it says, "Blessed is he." This is Psalm 41. I want to read you about three verses because this will give your faith a boost for those of you who are considering the poor. You know, it's we cannot be dormant during a time like this. This is our time to shine. And so in Psalm 41, he says, "Blessed," and that word blessed means recipient of divine favor. That's one of those words in the Hebrew and the Greek that basically mean the same thing. When you go into the New Testament, that Greek word means recipient of divine favor. Now, I want to say a word about that before I go any further. That's where we all need to be recipients. You know, we have a world, and sad to say, some of the church runs around looking for its favor from all kinds of different places. But what we should be doing is getting our favor from the Lord. We should be recipients of divine favor. That is the best thing that can happen in our lives when there's trouble or even when there's not trouble. So you need to join the Lord's side. If you're out there, you need to come to Jesus, be on the Lord's side, and be a recipient of divine favor. It says, "Blessed is he," or recipient of divine favor, "is he who considers the poor." So the Lord is offering us divine favor if we consider the poor. And I know our congregation's doing that here, and several of the ministries that I'm working with and do work with regularly but are more ramped up for this kind of ministry. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Now, there's a promise. The Bible says that for those of us who consider the poor, that the Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. That is a promise, all right? Now, we're consistently doing that throughout the year here, but we're especially doing it even more because the need has become greater to consider the poor. And so if you're out there somewhere and you're wherever you're at out there, we just challenge you to continue to do that because you become recipients of the Lord's favor. Now, it's one thing to be able to bless yourself. It's another thing for the Lord to bless you. Amen. So he says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. Look at the next promise the Lord gives to those who consider the poor. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Wow. Those are awesome promises that God offers to those of us who consider the poor. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. And your enemy could be anything. It could be a disease. It could be a sickness. It could be financial trouble. It could be anything out there that you're dealing with. That could be your enemy. So I would say that that's the second promise. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. That's the second one. Look at this. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and you will sustain him on his sick bed. So those are the promises. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're back. And he says, those are the promises. So let me rehearse the promises for somebody who considers the poor. You are a recipient of divine favor. And these divine favors are spelled out for you here in Psalm 41. The first is you'll be delivered in the time of trouble. We are in a time of trouble. The Lord will keep you alive and preserve you in the time, and he will bless you, be blessed. And that's what I'm saying. I've said this for the last 2 weeks. What do I plan on doing when trouble's in the land? I plan on growing in my faith. I plan on being blessed. I plan on advancing in the Lord because that's who we are. His plan's not ceased at all. God's plan is going just according to the way he laid it out. Everything that's going on, God is in charge of all that. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I would not be in the ministry. I'd be doing something else. But I believe God has the last say. I believe he's in charge of everything. I believe he controls life and death. I know my God is in charge of everything. And so these are the promises that he offers those who consider the poor. You'll be delivered in time of trouble. You'll be preserved and kept alive. You'll be blessed on the earth. You'll not be delivered to the will of your enemies, whatever that enemy is, sickness, whatever. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness and will sustain him on his sick bed. Those are some beautiful promises that God offers to those of us who care for the poor. All right, so a lot of the food we deliver and that we get in on, you need to, you know, we can all get on that. If you can have access to us, we can help with that kind of thing. But we all need to participate. It's not somebody else's job. These promises belong to those of us individually as we care for the poor and corporately as we are a body. Now, let me take you to Psalm 23. I want to give you some more encouragement because here's what's happening. I woke up this morning with a really heavy burden that the enemy is going to be trying to pick off some sheep during this time. He's going to be trying to destroy some sheep during this time. Because a lot of folks, if they're separated from the flock, they're not going to maintain their walk with the Lord the way they should. They're not going to be praying and staying in the Word. And we should be doing that anyway, but to become more vulnerable. And I think the enemy would love to try to pick off some sheep during this season that we're in. So it's no time to be letting up. No time to be letting up because we need to be obeying God and being faithful to God in every way that we can, even in a situation like this. So I want to take you to Proverbs 3. Did I say 23? If I did, I was mistaken. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And listen to some of the things that is said here. And then I'm going to take you to the New Testament. And then I'm going to bring you back to the Old Testament and share a story with you. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. So we should be continuing to obey the Lord, whether in the body or present or not. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. That's the promise I'm living by. No offense by this, but I'm not forecasting my future based on what's going on in the world. I'm forecasting my future based on what my dad tells me in the book he left me. This is my future. This is your future. If you name the name of Christ, these promises belong to you. And he says, if you will not forget his law, and you'll let your heart keep his commands, length of days and long life and peace or shalom, they will add to you. That's the way of God. And just like I preached Wednesday night, that I don't know why we just decided we don't have to obey. That's not God. If we obey God's word, if you listen to the message from Wednesday night, obedience is what brings blessing. And God says here, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them around your neck. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them around your neck. So that's who we should be. We should live. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Living with truth. Living with truth. That's why the buckler, the truth, the place that shields it, that it guards the loins in the New Testament, because it's the preserver of life. Truth preserves our life. If we give our lives to truth, God's truth, right? The difference between truth and facts is that facts can change, right? The fact is somebody may have broken a record in some way this month, next year it may be broken again, so that fact may change. But truth is inalterable. It never changes. It's unalterable. In other words, truth is a person. It's Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will stand forever. So truth cannot be altered. Facts can change, but truth cannot be altered. The fact, if you live in Kentucky, the fact is you can wake up one morning, think you're in Florida. You can wake up the next morning and think you're in Michigan, because that fact changes. The weather changes, the temperature changes, but God's Word, the truth of who God is, never changes. That's why you can hang your whole life on that. I'm basing my future not on what the stock market's doing, not on what the world's going through. I'm basing my future on what God says. And we've all got a wonderful retirement on the other side. Can you say amen? And he says, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Look at the next three verses or four. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When we go through seasons of trouble, it's really easy to get caught up in trying to do it yourself. Leaning into your own understanding instead of trusting the Lord. So we want to make sure that we trust the Lord. We want to lean to not to our own understanding, but we want to trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I don't care what troubles around, if it's personal, family, corporate, state, national, worldwide, it doesn't matter what troubles around, it's always a good idea to take inventory and do some repenting. Nothing wrong with that. Draw closer to God. Find out some areas of your life that maybe are not shored up the way they. Maybe you've not been obeying in something, or maybe you've been disobeying in something. And sometimes Christians can fall into the trap of maybe not disobeying things that you read, but letting things go that you know God has asked you to do. So be careful with that and check all that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all your ways acknowledge Him in verse 6, and He will direct your paths. It will be health to your flesh, there's another promise. Strength to your bones, there's another promise. And then He gets into other things that He's asked us to do. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. And many of you have been doing that. You've continued to bless and honor God during this time, and we appreciate that. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Now notice that your obedience to God doesn't hinge on what circumstances you're in. We are called to obey no matter what set of circumstances. And that's our guiding force, according to this. That's what causes us to triumph. That's what causes our barns to be filled. If your barns are not filled, if your cupboard's not filled, if things are waning, make sure you're not shortchanging God. Make sure you're doing the right thing with your money. He says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. That's another good word. Just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. Now, we can gain knowledge from the Scripture. You can gain knowledge from the world. You can gain knowledge from a university. You can gain knowledge from encyclopedias. You can gain knowledge from other people. You can gain knowledge from God. But you can get wisdom from God only. That's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from God. And the reason I say that is, you may say somebody's got wisdom, but it doesn't had nothing to do with God. They've just gained a lot of knowledge. Because true wisdom never operates independently of God. Wisdom never violates God's word. A lot of people use wisdom to say they don't have to do what God says. Well, it's just not wise. That's not God's wisdom never violates what His word teaches. And so God says to us right now, He says, honor me no matter what's going on. And He said, I'll keep you in the famine. I'll keep you when you get sick. I'll keep your enemy from destroying you. I'll bless you right in the midst of everything going on. And that's what I'm experiencing. And that's what God's people can experience. We can be blessed in the middle of trouble. And then He says, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Speaking of wisdom. Look at what wisdom will do if we get it from God. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. That's in God's hand. Somebody said, yeah, but the stock market's gone crazy. I don't think God's stock market's lost a penny. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All right? And I want to just drop this in because I think it's being said underlying. He owns the hills too. Everything that we see belongs to God. His trees are still growing. His grass is growing better than it's done in 3 or 4 years. We're having to cut it all the time. The water's flowing. We can't get out of the rain. God's economy is going good. The trees are budding. Everything He's got going is going fine. So I want you to focus on His economy. That's where we get in trouble. The Bible says, don't get your eyes off on things down here. Keep your eyes on things above, not things that are temporal, but things that are eternal. And guess what? God's Dow Jones is up about 1,000,000 points right now. His plan's going through. Everything He's got planned is going to come according to schedule. Everything we see outside is going through the normal cycle. Everything He's got's going okay. It's man that's in trouble. And when man's in trouble, his greatest failure is to look within and try to make things. It'd be great if we had some people around our world that are in leadership positions start falling on their knees and say, we're going to have to get some help from God for this. Because all the death is supported by Satan. You know that, right? There wouldn't be no death if the garden hadn't happened, if Adam and Eve hadn't fallen into sin. That's when death stepped into the race. So the devil's loving watching people lose their lives. We need to talk to the author of life, don't we? And sometimes we need to repent. Sometimes we need to call upon His name and say, we are sorry for neglecting you and leaving you out of our plans and out of the equation, because we know that you're the one that can help us. He is, the Bible says, the very present help in the time of trouble. He says, length of days it will give you, riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. Her paths are peace. And I don't want to say this out of turn, but that's what I'm experiencing right now. I'm loving ministering to people during this season, reaching out, helping. I'm loving what's going on with my own family, what God's doing in that, where there's no fear and no panic, and we're all just growing, and we're all reading more and focusing on God. I'm loving that. I'm enjoying what's going on in our lives. She is the tree of life to those who take hold of her. We're talking about wisdom, but wisdom can only come from God. Who does He give it to? The ones who ask for it, right? That's what He says. And James, and happy are those who retain her. Lay hold of God, lay hold of His wisdom and retain it. Then listen, I'm going to say this loud and clear. God's wisdom never goes against His word. So if you're hearing something that is contrary to God's word, that's not wisdom from God. And He says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Amen. Again, how many times do we see God saying, I'm the creator. I'm the one that made everything. He says, the Lord wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes, or keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul, grace to your neck. then you will walk safely. Look at these promises for those who keep obeying even in a troubled time. The people who keep obeying in a troubled time are the ones that continue to get blessed. But he's not saying we're just going to be okay. He's saying the people who obey in troubled times are the ones who are going to flourish. And that's what I want you to experience. I want you to come along with me and let's watch what God can do. I want to flourish in the times. That's who God is. That's what will set us up to testify. That's what will set us up to be a witness. I've said this in smaller groups. I don't know if I've said it going all over the world, but I want to say to you right now, as a Christian, it's our greatest moment to witness. When we're not living in fear, right? When we're not living afraid of everything, when we're trusting God and believing in God, that's going to be because the world, who's much of it is in panic mode, they're going to look to us and say, why aren't you afraid? Why are you trust? Why are you being blessed? And that's our time. That's what happened with the Israelites in Egypt. When darkness covered the land of Egypt, it did not go where the Israelites were in Goshen. So there in Goshen, they still had light. And there's a lot of things that didn't happen with those plagues. Goshen, where God's people, they were delivered from. They were spared from it. And this is going to be our opportunity for us to shine and show who we believe in, why we believe in Him, why we're trusting Him, and what He's doing in our lives in a troubled time. Because there'll be more troubled times. This is far from being the last troubled time. In fact, if you read the Scripture and you read through the book of Revelation, what Jesus taught in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, and all the prophets in there. When you read that stuff, there's a lot worse things coming than what we have now. But you have a place, right? David said in Psalm 37, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. We have so many promises, and now it's time for the Christian to step up and embrace those promises and say, hey, we've been saying we trust the Lord. We sing about it when we get together. We listen to K-Love talk about it. We listen to preachers on the radio. You're listening to me talk about it now. Now it's time to do it. In fact, in Luke 18 and 8, Jesus said this. He said, when I return, will I find faith on earth? That's what he said. He didn't say, will I find a good church? Will I find a good preacher? Will I find a good group of Christians? Will I find a good minister somewhere? Will I find a good TV program? He said, when I come back, will I find faith? He didn't say, will I find a good discipleship group? Didn't say, I find a good prayer group? He didn't say, I hope they got a good VBS going on. He said, when I come back, am I going to find people who live in faith? That's what Jesus said. He made that statement. He must have had some concern about it to say that. He's saying, when I return, am I going to find people living by faith, or am I going to find a bunch of people in the church doing what the Pharisees did, just going through a form of godliness but having no power? It's time for the church to have power, and our power is not in our name on the sign. Our power is in the name in whom we serve. His name is Jesus Christ. That's where our power is. We need power. God intended for the church to have power. And we've got to step back into that. And it starts with His Word, and it is amplified by the Holy Spirit and confirmed by the Holy Spirit. We need to be people of faith and people of power. The Lord says to us, when I come back in Luke 18 and 8, am I going to find faith? A lot of churches and ministries boast in their natural things. We shouldn't boast in that. We wouldn't have anything natural if it wasn't for God. We're not trying to here to lift up this preacher or to lift up this church. We're here to lift up Jesus Christ. That's how things happen. That's how things get done. He is the Son of God. He came to earth, took on flesh. He was before creation, because in Genesis 1, the word Elohim is the plural form of God. And so they were there, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, when they created the earth, they made man. And then in an appointed time when God sent His Son, He sent His Son to take on flesh, to live in our shoes, to walk in our circumstances. He walked this life without sin. He laid His life down so that you and I could have our sins forgiven, and He was resurrected from the dead so that every day I live, even though I may die, I have hope beyond the grave. I have hope without a question mark in Jesus Christ. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. There's none other beside Him. Amen. And He says, the Lord founded the earth, everything's His. He acknowledged the depths were broken up by His understanding. He established the heavens. The clouds dropped down the dew. Verse 21 says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Look at all the things that are promises to us, even when we are in troubled times. If we'll obey, God says these things are yours. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. I feel like that's all happening. And he says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and you will keep your and will keep your foot from being caught. So there's so much that God is offering us. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back. Look at all the instruction he's given us. What I'm challenging you with is to keep living this way, even though there's trouble around. And tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. Do not strive with a man without a cause. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. God talks to us, and that's important for us to hear. We need to hear from God. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So we have all kinds of promises that belong to us. Those promises are not conditioned on whether things are going good out in the world or not. They belong to us. So God says, you keep doing my things, doing it my way, and this is what you will have. So I want to rehearse to you again in chapter 3, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And that's a challenge for any of us. And it's not just a challenge in a troubled time right now. It's a challenge even in when we have a situation in our personal life, not to do it our way, to lean on to our own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Keep doing that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. So that's basically restating what he said in verse 5. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you see areas of your life that are not pleasing to God, it's time to move away from that. Get out of that. And he says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. All right? So we have all kinds of spiritual promises, but did you notice how many of these promises that I read to you today are physical promises? About God taking there's a scripture in the New Testament that says he'll preserve your body, spirit, and soul till the day of the Lord. These are beautiful promises to us, offered to us in a time when we have a lot of trouble. Now, you think about those verses there, about verses 5 through 8, and let me show you a couple of things. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. There's a beautiful story here in Exodus chapter 1 of Moses and his mother and father and all that's going on with that. In Exodus chapter 1, I want to point out some things with you. These people are in very troubled times. They're in very troubled times because Pharaoh is going to be killing all the male children that the Israelites have. But let's watch what happens going through this season, how many spiritual lessons there are for us. In chapter 1 of Exodus, verse 1. Now, let me back up. Let's just go to verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, and the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. So Pharaoh is worried that the Christians, or I shouldn't say Christians, the Israelites who represent the church in the Old Testament, they're going to just get too large a number, and so he's going to implement this plan. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I want to say something right there. We hope that our message is reaching lost people. We hope that people are getting saved. There's nothing more important than changing a man or a woman's eternal destiny, right? I mean, somebody's going to hell, turns, embraces Christ, and now they have eternal life in Him. That's the most important thing we can offer here. Secondly, though, I want to say to you as a believer that with the more you face affliction, the more you should multiply. That's God's design for affliction. We got to be careful not letting the devil talk us out of our moments of gain when there's affliction around. Everything don't shut down. In fact, I'm telling you, I am experiencing a flourishing in my life in so many ways during this troubled time. But I've got my eyes squarely focused on Jesus right now. I'm not looking at other things. And so Jesus is offering us a life of multiplication. Even though affliction's around, even though trouble's around, the Lord still offers you and I a place of multiplication. You need to make sure your future is based on this first. Your future ought to be based in the Word of God first. Everything else comes after this. Base your future on what God teaches. And so this says, the Bible says, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That should be our lot. When there's trouble, when there's affliction, it should multiply us and cause us to grow. That's how we become a light in a dark world. You know, the world don't pay much attention to us Christians most of the time if everything's going great, right? Now when things are troubled, it's our moment to say, hey, here's why we're not afraid. Here's why we're not tucking and running. Here's why we believe we're still going to grow and flourish in a troubled time. Because our God teaches us that even if famine's in the land, He's still going to provide for us. So now is a moment for us to shine, for us to step forward in our faith and to multiply and grow. Even though affliction has come, it's an opportunity for Christians to multiply and grow. And we are seeing, and those of you that have been doing this with me, I'm seeing there's so many opportunities to witness right now. And so it says, they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And he says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shapirah, and the name of the other was Puah, and said, why do you do the duties of midwife for the Hebrew women? Excuse me, when you do the duties of the midwife for the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then shall she live. But the midwives fear God and do not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the male children of life. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said, so here's another point I want to see. These midwives have more fear of God than they do man. All of us should live there. All of us should fear God first. That's the secret to our life. So they were more willing to fear God than anything else or anybody else. And look what happens. He calls them in and he says, Pharaoh says, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth to the midwives come to them. Now, there's some commentary that say the midwives were lying here. But there's nothing in the Scripture that says that. They're just assuming they're lying. There are Christian sites that say these midwives are telling a lie. There's nothing in that Scripture that says they're lying. They said what they said, and that's it. And as far as I've studied so far in the Hebrew, I can't find anything that suggests they were telling a lie. Do you think that God, because they feared God and they refused to kill them, do you think the God that causes birth to happen could have the child birth before they get there? Because there's more work to do when the child's birthed out than there is before it comes out. Do you think that our God, who's the one that makes life, right, could have had, because he saw these midwives' attitude toward him, that they were going to put him first? Do you think the same God that makes the trees outside, that causes birth in a womb today, that sent his son, do you think that God that raised his son from the dead, do you think he could have said, hey, since these women are willing to obey me and fear me more than man, I'm going to have those children born. And right when they come in, it's already going to be born, and they're going to do their duty after that. Do you think that could be possible? I think it could. Since God forbids us to lie, then it's very possible that, and that's how God works, by the way. Once you commit, you may see a great task in front of you, a big mountain to climb, but once you commit to it and you have the faith to do it and you say, God, I'm going to obey you no matter what it costs, then guess what? You always see God show up, don't you? The prodigal son said, I'm going to turn and go to the house. And when I head back home, great attitude, by the way, he said, I'm going to say I need to be a servant because I've been a yahoo. If you don't know what a yahoo is, that's a scoundrel. And he said, I've been a scoundrel, so I don't deserve to be a son. Good attitude. That's the way he should have went home. We got too many people now living a life of sin, walking back in on their mom and dad or the church acting like we owe them something. You need to come in and humble yourself and repent like the prodigal did. Prodigal, he spent everything his dad gave him. And he comes back home, but the dad jumped off the porch to meet him. That's how it works with God. If you turn your heart and say, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to walk toward God's plan. I'm going to go toward God just like the prodigal did. When you do that, God's going to step out to meet you. That's the way it always works. He's just waiting on you and I to commit. When I come back, am I going to have anybody living in faith? That's what he said. He didn't say, am I going to find a big cathedral somewhere or a giant ministry somewhere or a good preacher? He said, when I come back, am I going to find people living in faith? Amen. That's what God's saying to us. And so if you'll step out and say, I'm going to obey like these midwives, look what he gave them. He gave them their own homes. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives and people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God and he provided households for them. Let me show you what happened. You know a lot of fathers that don't have the heart of this prodigal's father, right? They would said, hey, I can't believe you lost all everything I get. You get over there and you work it back off. That ain't what the father said. The father come out, and that's what I'm saying to you. If you'll turn, God's after your heart. He's not after your motorcycle or your RV. He wants your heart. And when God gets your heart, he knows he can do things with you. He knows he can help you and bless you because you know where it's coming from. That's why you enter his gates with thanksgiving. Why do we come into his gates with thanksgiving first? Because it's saying to God, we recognize we don't make things happen. You're the one that makes things happen. We come to agreement with that. The Bible says God will keep us in perfect peace. Whose shalom that we've been studying in Isaiah, whose mind is stayed upon him. That, there's a lot to do with the soul and the mind that I'm learning right now, and I can't hardly contain it, but I'm wanting us to get back to normal before I start dumping it out because it is life-changing what God's teaching me right now. But there he says the same mind. In other words, the Bible says God will keep you and I in shalom or perfect peace when our mind comes in, when we come into agreement with him. That's what that Hebrew word means. It means to come into agreement with God. So now's not the time to not be agreeing with God. Now's the time to be agreeing with God. Now's the time to believe in healing. Now's the time to believe in provision. Now's the time to be tithing. Now's the time to be giving. Now's the time to walk out your faith. Now's the time to obey because we have a promise and many, many promises from God. The Bible said he will keep us in shalom if we come into agreement with what he says. Everything that's being said in the world today, from Russia to America to South America, is all going to fall to the ground. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to stand forever. Build your life on the Word of God. Trust in Him, and He will make you at peace. Amen. And be one of those people that when He comes back, you're living in faith, no matter what's going on in your world. These women were provided homes, got their own children, because they honor God. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives. People multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God. They feared God. My motto is fear God. You don't have to fear anything else. But if you don't fear God, you're going to have to be afraid of everything else. And he says, God gave households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now, there's probably some ill motive behind that, because you know how women have always been treated in our world, abused in so many ways. I remember reading back when we were at war over in Iraq, I remember watching an interview of some of the women who were there in some of those war-torn areas, and the Taliban and some of those rogue demonic groups would come every day and steal their little girls from them, 8, 9, 6 years old, and take them and rape them all day long and bring them back home. And one of those women who were in those war-torn countries said, "Please tell the Americans to bomb us and kill us so we don't have to endure this every day." That's a lot worse than the coronavirus. These people having to face hell every day out in our world. But we have the hope. And if you're anywhere in the world hearing my voice, Jesus Christ is the answer to you. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. So, who knows, you know, that's probably an ill reason why they, you know, they made concubines and all that by keeping the daughters alive. And of course, the male represented another man of war. So they're going to kill those guys. They're afraid. They're afraid of God's people. And a man of the house of Levi sinned and took his wife, the daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. She's trying to protect him. Might I say there's a time to hide, and then there's a time to be out in the open. It's time for all that. You need to hear from God. Everybody needs to be hearing from God. We all need to be hearing from God. I heard from God in 1999 when everybody was afraid everything was going to collapse. I was feeling the pressure like everybody else. I was pastoring a church way up in a holler. And I was feeling the pressure, and some of our people were feeling the pressure. And I said, we need to pray and see what, because sometimes God says, store. And sometimes He said, don't take nothing with you. Trust me. That's where it makes or breaks right there, hearing from God. And I'll never forget, we prayed for months, and I'll never forget hearing a word from God and stepping in that pulpit and saying to our people, we don't have to store nothing. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, we're going to get through this. But that don't mean the next time He doesn't say, you need to store, right? Because Joseph, He said, store it, right? His disciples, He said, don't take anything with you. What's the difference? Hearing from God. He told Abraham, go sacrifice your son. And right before he did it, He said, don't do it. How important is it to hear from God? Please spend some time. Don't spend it all in front of the television or Netflix or a computer now. Please, Christian, spend some time in God's Word. Spend some time in your prayer life. Step it up a little bit. Move it on up if you're at home. Do more than you were doing. It's time to give God His just due. And He's our only help anyway. He's our only help. And so they hide him for 3 months, and then she says she could no longer hide him. She took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it in asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. She did. You talking about faith. Why didn't she hide him somewhere else? The river's where they were killing him. That's what he said. She took him right to the river and defied the enemy, defied death. And God set her up because God's looking for these people. He's looking for people who live by faith. Like my friend in New York City who hugs children with AIDS every single day of his life. He's looking for those people who live in faith. And still doesn't have AIDS, by the way. Daughter of Pharaoh came down the river, and her maidens walked on the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she went to get her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, this is Moses' sister, Miriam, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew children, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you your weight. Whoa! Isn't that awesome? I say it to the whole world. When death is knocking at the door, somebody stood up in faith and said, I defy the plans of the enemy. And God turned that whole thing around to where she got to raise her son anyway and get paid by the state for it. Imagine that. Imagine that you got... How many women out there would love to have been paid to change your child's diaper? Moses, especially people who grew up when I did, when they had to wash them and reuse them, right? Had to hang them out on the clothesline. But you think about that for a minute. You think about how God turned that around because one woman said, hey, I'm going to live by faith. And you know, the dad was in on it too. They were in it together, and the sister was in on it. She was down there, had some kind of expectation, right? Now think about that. Every male child is supposed to be killed. They're in a horrible time. And Miriam and Amram and Jochebed say, we're going to step out on faith. And they stepped out on faith. Not only did she get to raise her son, but they had more money than they had before they stepped out on faith because they went on the state payroll. That's the kind of God I'm serving right there. That's why when anybody asks me what I'm doing the natural things. I wash my hands, like I told you, several times a day. I wash my steering wheel several times a day. I wash things that I handle before I use them. I do all that. But I'm telling you, while this trouble's in the land, I plan on flourishing because my God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I want you, all of you out there, to flourish in the Lord because He has never changed. He's always the same. And as we look at this story and as we remember this, our testimony can be right in a time like this is, why aren't you afraid? Why are you still happy? Why are you at peace? Because some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. We want to thank everybody for being with us today. I'm closing my sermon. Thank all of you all for there. Here's some things you need to know. We're going to start putting some things on the screen, like our P.O. box is 2167 Danville, Kentucky, 40423, Living Water. That's our P.O. box for those of you that are still being faithful and sending your support in. We're also doing a lot of things, so I want you to keep us in prayer, all that. We will be going live on Wednesdays at 7:05. We will be going live on Sundays at 10:35. Now, that 10:35 may fluctuate some as we get back to normal. So everybody, and we're still trying to implement, we're implementing new things every week to be able to communicate not only with the people who are here local, but with you guys that are out there, wherever you're at, around the United States. On the podcast, our podcasts are in 30-some countries in the world. We say hello to you, those of you, a lot of you folks in Canada. We welcome you that are a part of what we do here and listening to what we say. And we just thank God for everybody that's coming in and surrounding us. We covet your prayers more than anything else, and we challenge you to just keep the faith while this time's going on. Let us pray. And let us all pray together out there. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God bless you. We'll see you this week.